Mr. Lee?
Yes, sir.
You ready to continue?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, again, Donald Lee, your executive director at the Texas Conference of Urban Counties. And I was reviewing the history of the Prop 2 program and 1131 of the tax code. And the attempt in 2007 to direct TCEQ to expand the tax exemption program to what I would call a tax loophole, and that would allow lots of productive investment and productive property to qualify for a tax exemption. Now, the language that they put in that bill and they successfully got passed, folks from the industry, including some taxpayers here in Jefferson County, claimed was determinative at telling TCEQ to grant the tax-exempt status on that property. We reviewed that language, and we didn't come to the same conclusion. And we went to TCEQ, and we told TCEQ that. And TCEQ said, you know what, you may be right. Let's ask the AG. And so we all briefed the AG on it, and the AG came back with an AG opinion, says, they're right. Not the taxpayers, but we're right. That the language did not override all the other provisions, and that nothing in that language automatically granted anyone that tax-exempt status. Several taxpayers, especially one that has had applications on file, including from here and some other counties along the coast, appealed the denial of their determination. They continue to insist that, no, we get that tax-exempt status. During this last session, because that appeal was still out there and because that taxpayer was even threatening to take it to court, we asked the legislature to clarify it even a little more. And the legislature passed a law that said, TCEQ, apply the same standards to that list we did last session that you do to all other applications that aren't on the list. They clarified it even more. Taxpayers are continuing to insist to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality that they deserve the tax-exempt status. And the commission, when they last dealt with this in January, wavered and indicated a desire to grant some sort of exemption to these taxpayers. They asked the staff, they remanded it back to staff and said, can't you find a way to give them a partial exemption? Now, our recommendation, our position is, from the urban counties, is that you should not, as a Jefferson County Commissioner's Court, and as a community, and all counties and taxpayers and taxing entities, should not compromise on the clear, bright line standards of the Prop 2 program, that it must be an environmental regulation about the emissions and environmental qualities of the production process, not the product. And in the case at hand, it is about making fuel that meets federal standards for the amount of sulfur in the fuel. The environmental qualities are in the product. If we go this route, if TCEQ goes this route, I cannot tell you where it stops. The truck plant in San Antonio that they fought to get, that makes Toyota pickup trucks, if they convert that to Toyota Priuses, that helps them meet their federal mileage standards, doesn't that meet the same test? All the different regulations that regulate the products would bring an huge new amount of industrial property into the equation. We believe, from a conservative estimate, that if you look at the $2 trillion tax base of the state of Texas, we're talking about 2-4% of that tax base now would qualify, that industrial tax base would qualify for this tax exemption. That's a 2-4% shift of property tax burden from residential homeowners from industry. This is a tax increase for residential homeowners if we go this route, if the state goes this route. So it is our recommendation to your policy committee and to you that we do all that we can to oppose the expansion of the pollution control tax exemption, which is relatively narrow, from expanding it to what is a big tax loophole for the production of goods and services. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I appreciate the time that you've allowed me to go through this in some detail.
Any questions?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Anything we can possibly do. I mean, it's anything we can do, we would do. If this county decided that was a route that you wanted to go, obviously as an association, we don't have any standing. But we would do that, and we would also want to coordinate and communicate strategies to other taxing entities, and to whatever extent you found valuable to you, coordinate and communicate with other entities that may want to join in with you on that. We think the more of you that would take a stand like that, the better that would be. I think it's too early for me to judge that. I think that this has gotten to the point we've been trying to work this out. We went back to the legislature again, and the legislature directed TCEQ, and now they seem to be still intent on trying to find some sort of way to grant an exemption for property use to meet a federal regulation on a product. And because of that, I think we're just now, and y'all have always, this commissioner's court has always been on the vanguard of this policy. And I think you are right now at that point too. But I think there are other commissioner's courts that are similarly situated as you and aren't as informed as this one is.
Don, can I couch that a little bit different way? How many counties in Texas would see significant financial impact?
Thank you.
The policy goes to product rather than...
I'm going to answer it two ways. I will argue to all of them are. But immediate impact, because the taxpayer that is making this case right now is a large refiner and has refineries in Galveston, Harris, this county, and Nueces. So you have four counties right there that have an immediate, tangible, quantifiable impact. If they are to prevail, I make the case to every commissioner's court in the state of Texas that you're going to see an impact over the next 10 years. Frankly, as we go forward, and especially if you look at the extent of environmental regulation being contemplated at the federal level, the impact on this is very, very far-reaching.
Don, this company has basically plants in those counties, but all other plants of magnitude would have the same opportunity. Am I right or wrong?
That's right, and there's probably another half dozen counties in the state that have similar plants where the companies have not taken the position that this one has, but if this one gets it, you know they're coming in.
And that would basically turn the tax laws and taxation in the state upside down, where it was shifted from industry to private homes, right?
I agree completely. In my opinion, it would drive a huge loophole in the property tax system for businesses to put a lot in.
Don, one thing that we had a meeting last week with our appraisal district director, and just a rough guesstimate on the impact it could have in Jefferson County to the taxing entities was over $10 million annually in actual revenue to the taxing entities. So, I mean, and our tax base is, you know, pretty large, but compared to other parts of the state, you know, it's still down in the lower percentile. And one other quick point of clarification, and I don't want it to go out of this courtroom, but the media or anybody else, to indicate that we are anti-pollution control. That's not it at all. It's the fact that this equipment that we're exempting generates local tax revenue, and if it does qualify for pollution control, it's the local taxing entities that would be giving up those funds, not some other location in, you know, Alaska or the Northeast or somewhere else. And so this is the critical point to make sure that everybody understands. We're giving up this tax revenue here locally to keep our air clean and our, you know, water clean, not to prevent it from happening somewhere else. The federal government has other incentives available for tax exemptions for these companies that, you know, offset their IRS and their federal tax. But this is local tax money, and if it is improving to clean up the air here, hey, I'm okay with that. But if it's being done to improve the product and ship to, you know, the Northeast to keep cleaner fuel up there, we're virtually giving up our tax base to help prevent pollution in some other parts of the country. And that's where I have the rub on what this, where this is going.
And I think one of the things that's scary about the way that TCEQ seems to be interpreting this law is that it sets us on this slippery slope down towards exempting virtually every business, because then what happens? You start exempting milk processing plants because they pasteurize milk and take bad things out of it, sugar refining plant, boilers at laundries. They're already granting exemptions for paving parking lots because they knock down dust. So it's really scary. And you think for every, what we would lose is well over $1 billion in tax base if you interpret it the way that they are talking about. Well, if you try to put that in some frame of reference, we'd have to have $100,000 homes to replace that loss. And I don't know of any area that's building those kind of numbers of homes. So you automatically shift the tax burden from industry to residential taxpayers and small business owners. And my numbers are outdated, but immediately after the passage of House Bill 3732 and the amendments to Chapter 1131 of the tax code, John Neely with Capital Appraisers did an analysis of the impact it would have on Jefferson County, and it'd be a 23.9% loss of revenues. Now, those numbers have to be redone in light of what's happened the last 2 years, 2.5 years, but that's a significant shifting of the tax burden if you take what's going to happen to the way they're interpreting it to its logical conclusion.
Jeff, just for the record, while you and Don are up here, am I remembering correctly, there's some language in the law that once an exemption is granted, it's forever. It's not a temporary exemption. It's not subject to recall in a year. Once it's exempted forever.
That's exactly what happened to us at BASF. TCEQ granted an exemption for some cooling towers that they found to be pollution control equipment. I came back 2 years later and said, oh, we improvidently granted that pollution control exemption because it's really not pollution control equipment under our regulations and our interpretation of the statute, constitutional amendment. However, you can't take it away because once it's granted forever. So they built the one that you're familiar with, the cooling tower that puts all the smoke out on Highway 87 there near the Orange Bridge. They built a cooling tower subsequent to that one to take care of the smoke problem. That one's not exempted, but the one they originally granted it on is still exempted because the legislature hasn't given them the authority to take back exemption.
So why the change in TCEQ all of a sudden to even consider the waiver?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know the answer of it, Commissioner.
It seems like it's a shift all of a sudden to consider it.
I want to differentiate between the staff, which I think has been consistent in their recommendation to the commission that the application be denied. Staff has been consistent, and staff recommended denial, and it was denied, and then the taxpayer appealed to the full commission. The full commission looked at it, put it off, had a lot of debate about it, put it off. Finally, in January, they had a hour-long discussion about it, and they wound up directing, sending it back to staff and saying, can't you find a way to at least give them a partial exemption? It seems to me that the commission, in being forced to deal with this by the appeal from the taxpayer, has found themselves wanting to do something. I think that it's possible, there's a number of factors here probably, but the one that I like to really focus on is that it is a cultural mismatch to have TCEQ administering property taxes. With environmental regulation, you try to work with industry to find ways to produce goods and services as efficiently as possible and pollute as least as possible, balancing things. With property tax administration, you know, it's a different culture. It's a different way you need to do that because it's so important you be uniform and equal to all taxpayers. With environmental regulation, something's not working here, you just stop doing it, and you know, you change and you do something different. And you, with property taxes, you don't do that. And once you go this far with exemptions, you're always there. And you need to draw hard lines and defend them in property tax administration. And I think that's a cultural mismatch for the commission. You know, they spend all their time doing these other things, and all of a sudden they get this property tax issue lumped in front of them, and now they're trying to deal with it. And they're usually trying to split babies with who they regulate. And that's not how you do property tax administration. And it's a real cultural mismatch for them, and I think the commission is struggling to handle this in a way consistent with the Constitution and consistent with the statutes. And I think if they do wind up granting something there, I think they will have failed.
If you don't mind, while the news media is here trying to understand this whole situation, you might explain how TCEQ is governed, who makes those appointments, the three-member commission, and that sort of thing, just to kind of define the structure.
TCEQ is one of the largest commissions in the state and most important. It was built together from a number of different state agencies that had volunteer boards to have one three-member board of professional commissioners who are appointed by the governor, paid a living wage, unlike most appointees in state government. They live and work in Austin on a full-time basis. And those three members meet all the time. I mean, they meet a lot and work a lot, dealing with a wide variety of regulatory issues. That answer your question, Commissioner?
Yes, sir. And also, if I remember correctly, there's theoretically one commissioner represents industry, one urban, one rural. Is that correct or not?
Yes, sir.
Does the governor appoint all three of them?
He appoints all three of them.
Don, do you recommend that we also visit with our legislators to make sure we have them on board and understanding the magnitude of this? And upcoming session, things that we may be able to collaboratively work with them on to straighten this out.
Representative Ritter has been heavily involved from word go.
Yes, sir. And I should take a moment to emphasize how good your delegation has been on this issue in trying to defend this, I think, sensible, narrow interpretation of Proposition 2 and maintaining that is a positive program for the state. Representative Ritter has been deeply involved ever since, and he actually authored some of the changes we needed back in 2001, and Representative Deschatel has been deeply involved and supportive as well. And I think their reaction, I haven't had a chance to talk to them about what's going on with this most recent set of appeals. Their reaction will be, didn't we fix this? Didn't we give that direction? And I think we have to tell them, sorry, representatives, the TCEQ is still struggling with the direction that you gave them.
Anything else?
Don, I just want to say thanks for coming over today. It was kind of a short notice, and appreciate you being available to come over and educate us on this issue. It's a very important issue. And I hope the word can get out that, you know, we're trying to look out for the best interests of our area and our region. And again, we're not against pollution control, but we want to, if there's a tax exemption involved locally, we should have some say-so in that process. And TCEQ is kind of stripping us of the local authority in that regard.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I would just close by reiterating your consistent position of supporting a pollution control tax exemption that is effective and narrow to exempt additional property added to the productive process to keep the productive process clean. You've consistently supported that, and the association has. And that what we have defended is the attempts to broaden it into some much broader loophole of business property from taxation. Finally, I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to work for y'all, and to work for y'all in Austin. We appreciate every day. Thank you.
Donald, before you close completely, would you comment on the process, any available appeal process once the three-member commission rules on an issue, what the appellate process is?
That is a great question, Commissioner, and I am not qualified to give you any sort of good answer on it. And in fact, I'm not sure anyone knows a good answer on that. There, at our last task force within the association, a number of the attorneys that are representing appraisal districts were asked to go and look at that and look at what that appeal process looks like. I have heard some attorneys believe that there is no real access to challenge an inappropriate decision by the TCEQ, that they feel that there's no one has standing to do so, and that the only one who does would be the chief appraiser, and the chief appraiser is directed by the statute to accept the determination of TCEQ. There's alternative interpretations that suggest that the chief appraiser is directed not to challenge correct decisions by TCEQ. And by that means, if you believe TCEQ has exceeded the statutory authority, you can challenge on that basis. You can't challenge on a technical basis. In other words, if you believe legally that the decision by TCEQ is not supported, then you have access to the courts and you can challenge that. And you might have to go through an administrative appeal process first. Your council is probably, and your appraisal district council is probably in a better position to give you a better answer than I've just given you, other than it's something that's being looked at. I believe that there is got to be a way to have the courts review the actions of TCEQ when they are not supported by the statute and not supported by the Constitution. The exact way of doing that, you've got better other professionals that are qualified to guide you through that process.
It seems violative of the open courts doctrine. If the people or counties are simply cut off with no means to challenge.
I cannot believe the courts would decide that they are not allowed to review the legality of decisions made by TCEQ in this area, frankly, any area. I think, and I'm agreeing with you, Judge. I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Thank you.
And I can inform the court that we'll have more discussion about that this afternoon in executive session.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
Thank you all very much.
Appreciate you, man. Okay, anything else? We'll adjourn.